الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening on the receivers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan and jinnat, each and every one of us seated here, for a specific purpose, for an objective. We find today, whatever is manufactured in the world, there's always some kind of purpose and objective for it. The car manufacturers, they will design a car for a specific market. So they have an objective, they have a purpose, they have a goal for which they design and manufacture something. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran Sharif, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. He poses the question that, do you think we have created you in vain, in futility, without any purpose and objective? And then Allah ta'ala further says, وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And do you think that you are not going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So in other words, we have been sent into this world for a specific purpose and objective. And thereafter, we are continuing on our journey and we will return to our ultimate destination. And that is back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the real watan of every single human being is Jannah. Our father, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he was from Jannah. And every single believer, mu'min, who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah he will go back to his abode. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for a specific purpose, an objective, a goal. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We have heard this verse numerous occasions and many of us recite it every night. But there is great meaning in the various verses that we recite. For example, Surah Yasin Sharif, we are told to recite Surah Yasin Sharif every morning. And a person who recites Yasin Sharif every morning, then قُضِيَتْ حَوَائِجُهُ. Nabi Kareem S.A.W. mentions all his needs for that specific day will be fulfilled. In another narration, it comes that Yasin Sharif is the heart of the Quran Sharif. And Nabi Kareem S.A.W. said, it's my desire that every single believer memorizes the Surah Yasin Sharif. So what is the reason for that? So each and every one of us, we should try and take out some time in our schedule where we recite a few verses of the Quran and Kareem and get some kind of authentic translation of the Quran Sharif and basic tafsir and commentary. And we try and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. Of course, we should not derive any kind of masla, masail and so on. A few days ago, one specific person phoned me and he says that one person mentioned to them that, you see, the ulama today, unfortunately, they, when they give you a verdict, it's not based on Quran and Hadith. The ulama, half the time, they just mention stories. What they're saying is not really based on Quran and Hadith. So we must remember, respected elders and brothers, this is the effort of Shaitan. And this is the effort that Shaitan has been making all along. If we look at throughout history, where Shaitan tries his utmost to create this kind of division and this kind of animosity and hatred for the ulama-i kiram, for those people who are the scholars of deen. The reason for this is, as long as we are going to hold on to the ulama-i kiram of our specific time and era, some of us, our Hazrat Rahmatullah, has passed away. But we must remember, obviously, we are not going to find a person of that caliber. And in the same way, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah, will today, in today's time, will we find a person like Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah? So in today's zamana, we have got our ulama, great ulama. And years to come later on, we will say we will never find a person of that caliber. We will never find a Maulana Naeem Mutala. We will never find a specific alim, Mufti Zubair Saab, whoever it may be. Then we will say. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran Majeed, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. And O believers, adopt taqwa and be with those who have got sidq, have got sadiqeen. Ulama kiram explained it in detail. But the ulama and the ahlullah, the pious people of your era, you must remain in their company. And now there is a little scholarly discussion with regards to this verse, a grammatical discussion wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, that you must continue remaining in their company. So this, in terms of grammar, it is referred to as present and future tense. Those people who studied Arabic will understand what I am saying. So it's present and future tense. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that presently adopt the company of those who are sadiqeen, the pious people, and in future too, adopt the company of those who are sadiqeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives an instruction, then it is against the principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will tell you to do something and He will not create the means for you to do it. In other words, you will always find from now, inshallah, till Qiyamah, people who will be pious and who will be sadiqeen. It's we who have to search for these people and hold on to them and try our best not to have any kind of doubts. So he says that the ulama, they don't really, nothing is based on the Quran and Hadith. So I told him, I said, you can go to any of our Darul Iftas around us here, whether it is Darul Ihsan or Talimuddin or wherever it is, Jamiat, wherever it is. Go and ask them a fatwa, a mas'ala, and inshallah give it to them in writing. And I assure you, inshallah, they will reply to you, and the reply that they will give will be based on nothing but the Quran and Hadith. And then he mentioned another thing. He says that this person says that with regards to television, the ulama are just making a big noise. There is no way in the Quran and Hadith it comes that television is haram. So now this is something which is logical. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no television in that time. So I said, in the same way, a person can then say that no way it comes in the Quran and Hadith that it is permissible to use a cell phone. I said, go. I'll challenge you, go through the entire Quran Sharif, go through the entire compilation of ahadith and bring for me one hadith and one Quran ayat proving the permissibility of the cell phone. It was not existent in those times. So the ulama-i-kiram, they use their intelligence and they use their capabilities, they have studied, they are qualified in that field, and they will look at the Quran and hadith and they will derive masail, they will derive laws. In everything, respected elders and brothers, we're always looking for a qualified person. A person will never go to a person who studied a few books on general practitioner medicine and go to him and says, right, I need your advice, what kind of medication should I take? Or a person wants to do a bypass, a heart operation, so he goes to somebody who has gone to CNA, whichever bookstore, and he has read from cover to cover books on cardiology. Will he go to him and will he ask him to perform a heart operation on himself? He will always go to somebody who's qualified. If you look at the field of aeronautics, a person is not allowed to fly a plane until he's not qualified. And the more hours he's flown, then only he's allowed to fly the bigger planes. So in the same way with regards to deen, why is it that every single person now, he wants to pick up Quran and Hadith and come with masail and come with verdicts? There are people who are qualified in this field. So let us be very, very cautious. This is the attack of shaitan. This is the plan and plot of the enemies of Islam to create a division, to create doubts in the hearts of people with regards to the ulama-i-kiram. Alhamdulillah, we have got great ulama. Let us hold on to them and let us remain far, far away from those people who are taking the path of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Follow the path of those people who are turning towards me. So if you look at all our ulama-i-kiram, they have qualified from reputable institutions, they have got an entire sanad, they have got a chain which links them directly to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sahaba-i-kiram. So let us not be fooled by people who are trying to create doubts and divisions and who are trying to take us on to the path of those people who are astray. May Allah Ta'ala guide us all and increase our love and our respect for our ulama-i-kiram. Coming back to what I was saying, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and put us into this world for a specific purpose, a goal and an objective. And that is obviously that we should earn our a'mal and earn great virtues in the year after. And for this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world to test us. So from this we understand that every single person, whether the person outwardly is wealthy or poor, or a person is in good health or a person is in sickness, but each and every individual will be tested. This is the reality of life, that a person will always be tested in whichever way he may be. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, used to say that there are only two routes to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the route of sabr and one is the route of shukr. So a person in any condition of his life, in any phase of his life, he will find that he will be in one of two conditions. Either he will be in a position where he will have to exercise patience and sabr, or he will be in such a condition where he will have to express gratitude and show his gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person has got good wealth, then at that time he is being tested. What is the test? That are you appreciating this great bounty of wealth? If a person has got good health, then at that time he is being tested. That are you appreciating this bounty of good health? Or instead, are you using this good health to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you using your good health to go to those places which will bring the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we using our eyes, which are a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we using it to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the same way, a person will be tested for sabr. And sometimes a person will be going through some kind of sickness. So at that time, does he exercise patience and sabr? Or does he begin complaining that why is it that I'm always getting sick? I'm the only one who gets sick. Nobody else gets sick. Every time I'm getting sick. So now a person who adopts this kind of attitude, he is losing out on great, great rewards. So a person will either be tested through the road of sabr or the road of shukr. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say it very beautifully in our context. He used to say in South Africa there are two routes to reach Cape Town. One is the garden route and one is the route of the Karoo. But both routes eventually will lead a person to his destination. So in the same way a person will be tested. And it will not always be that a person will be making shukr. Now a person will say, Alhamdulillah, I'm making shukr, so the rest of my life must only be shukr. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the condition. But we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, we are extremely weak. We cannot go through trials and tribulations and hardships and difficulties. So therefore, Ya Allah, we are begging you that you take us through the route of shukr and give us the tawfiq to make abundant shukr and express abundant gratitude. But if you look at history and all our pious predecessors from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the trials and the tribulations and the tests that came upon them. And if you come right till our time, for those of us in this masjid, our Hazrat Rahmatullah, look at the tests that he went through in terms of his health, the kind of pain that he would go through. Many times he would be sitting here, and many of us would be aware of the severe chest pain that he would be undergoing. But yet, in spite of that, look at the patience, look at the kind of sabr, never ever complain. He would merely say, just by way of informing you, just by way of information, not complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but today I've been having very sharp, severe chest pains. So this was their condition. Never ever complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous incident which Hazrat Rahmatullah always mentioned, that there was one pious person, he was going through severe fever. Fever was very, very high. So at that time somebody came to visit him. They said, Hazrat, how are you keeping? So he said, Alhamdulillah, my eyes are functioning very, very well. Alhamdulillah, my ears are functioning very well. All the different parts of my body are functioning so well. Yes, the only thing, I have a little bit of fever. So he first focused on all the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then just by way of informing, he mentioned that he has a little bit of fever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continuously test us. But then look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Kareem and Rahim and merciful Allah, that He sends the test, but then He also gives us the answers. He gives us the answers to that test. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. that I will most definitely be tested. You will definitely be tested. Different. Sometimes it'll be shortage of wealth. Sometimes there'll be a little bit of loss of life, a loss of property. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the solution in other places of the Quran Sharif. Allah ta'ala mentions, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ. That seek help through your different trials and tribulations by means of two things. The one is sabr, exercising patience, and the other is turning towards salah. Now this is a very, very beautiful thing, respected elders and mothers. If only we get the reality of salah in our lives. Look at Sahaba ikram. Two rakat salah they would perform, and it would be as if all the calamities and problems had been completely washed away. Nabi Kareem Sahasam, when any difficulty came upon him, immediately he would turn towards salah. Now, respected elders and brothers, what we need to ask ourselves, that they were turning towards salah, this is now nafil salah, extra salah. We first need to ensure that we are performing our farz salah. If you look at majority of the ummah, the vast majority of the ummah, they are not even performing the farz salah. 5-time farz salah for the menfolk in the masjid. Look at alhamdulillah, look at this congregation in front of us. At the time of Fajr, what is the condition? Where are all the people gone to? So this is the important thing, respected elders and brothers, that the salah has to come into our lives. The first thing with which a person will have to give account for on the day of Qiyamah, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first question Allah Ta'ala will question every single person in regards to will be his salah. If a person's salah is in order, inshallah, there's great hope everything else Allah Ta'ala will tell him continue. But if a person there's deficiency in his salah, what then will be the condition? That is why each and every one of us seated here, we should make a firm resolution that from now till we pass away, not a single salah must become qaza. And those of us who have got qaza salah, let us not leave it. Obviously now a person, if he makes tawbah, he says, Ya Allah, so many years now I haven't been performing my salah. So it's obvious this person cannot perform all the salah in one go. But he will make sincere repentance, he will turn towards Allah Ta'ala, he will ask Allah sincerely from the bottom of his heart, that Ya Allah, you have blessed me with bounties upon bounties upon bounties. I was only requested to perform 5 times salah. How many bounties you gave me daily? This 5 salah is nothing in comparison to it. Just look at the heart of a person, how many times it beats every single day. Even when a person is sleeping, this heart continues beating. Now if Allah Ta'ala wanted to put a price to the beating of the heart, do you think we'll ever be able to pay for it? Look at the blinking of the eye. One of our Sajis Aikram mentioned one incident, a person involved in an accident, motorbike accident, and as a result, he lost his eyelids. His eye, alhamdulillah, was saved. But just the eyelid was lost. Now this eyelid, we know we blink our eyes, and the doctors will explain to you that the blinking of the eye keeps the eye moist and so on. And if the eye does not remain moist, then eventually the person can become blind. So this person, his eyelids were not there. So the doctors gave him a kind of a solution. Every 2 or 3 minutes he had to put that dab some kind of moist cloth onto his eye. And because of this, continuously exposing his skin to the wetness and the moisture, eventually he had to go for plastic surgery on that portion of his skin. Now imagine, every 2-3 minutes naturally or less than that we are blinking without even realizing. Now can you imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to attach a price to the blinking of our eyes? And we are only requested to perform 5 salah daily. And initially it was 50 salah. Even the 50 salah was not enough. Was not enough gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favors and bounties upon us. And then Allah out of His mercy says, perform 5, but I give you the reward of 50. 5 multiplied by 10, 50 salah. But that too we regard it as a burden. Yet it was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A gift, this is a gift from me to you. You have an opportunity to connect yourself to me. Direct connection. The people of other faiths and other religions, many of them have to go to their gods by means of other gods, or they have to go to their god by means of the priest or the pastor. If they want forgiveness, they have to go to the confess before the various people. But look at a Muslim and a mu'min, that we can, each and every one of us, no matter how far a person may have been gone from deen, but he too can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we can never ever be judgmental. We don't know which person in the darkness of the night, without anybody seeing him, he could be turning to Allah, Ya Allah, I'm a very sinful person. I have committed many, many sins. I too would like to adopt deen in my life, but I'm extremely weak. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Every night we don't know, people are asking for forgiveness. And we who are adopting the outward libas of the salihin, the attire of the salihin, so sometimes we regard ourselves as very, very superior. But we do not know. Other people may be repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, each and every one of us should ensure that we also follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we should never judge any person. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this salah as a gift. That turn, this is a gift from me to you. You can connect and you can turn towards me. But unfortunately, my condition and our condition is this, that we regard this salah as a burden. We regard the salah as a burden. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. 7 people will be given shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day where there will be no other shade besides the arsh and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst those 7 people, for our youth, one group of those 7 people will be that young person, that youngster who grew up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite all the temptations and all the blackberries and the cell phones and the internet sites and all the different kind of relationships which are taking place, but this youngster remained steadfast and he remained in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala will call this person and say, now you come and you take shade underneath my arsh. Another person will be that person, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. That person who remembers Allah ta'ala in solitude, and in that condition of remembering Allah ta'ala in solitude, the tears flow down his eyes out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another group of those people, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. That person whose heart was attached to the masjid. The person's heart was attached to the masjid. Muhaddithin explain that it also refers to that person after having performed one salah, his concern, his mind is working that I have to get ready for the next salah. This is a sign of a person whose heart is attached to the masjid. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will call out this person and give him shade underneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq to firmly establish within our lives this salah. For those of us who are performing salah, then we make dua that Allah ta'ala gives us the devotion and concentration in our salah. And Allah ta'ala makes us such that we become attached to salah and we become attached to the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say that the coolness of my eyes lies in salah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah.